Welcome to Harlem. When you first think of this neighborhood, what comes to mind? It's probably the music scene, Black culture, African American heritage, and soul food to start. The neighborhood is well known as the namesake for the Harlem Renaissance, the intellectual and artistic movement of the 1920s that gave us Langston Hughes, Duke Ellington, and Josephine Baker, among others. It set Harlem as the cultural hub of Black community that has continued for a century. Today, it still houses Black institutions such as the Dance Theater of Harlem, the first Black classical ballet company, the Apollo Theater, a notable venue for African American performers, the Caribbean Cultural Center African Diaspora Institute, an organization focused on capturing the breadth of global African diaspora, and several culinary establishments like Sylvia's, the soul food destination, celebrity chef Marcus Samuelson's Red Rooster restaurant and its ode to all things African American culture, and pioneering West African chef Peter Thames Taranga. Harlem is also home to Harlem Hops, New York City's only Black-owned craft beer bar. Harlem, though, is used to change. It wasn't always jazz music and fried chicken, haberdasheries and scenes from a Spike Lee film. The reputation of this neighborhood has evolved over the years. Unlike the Upper East Side, the other part of this tour, Harlem has transformed on several occasions based on the groups of people who have lived here. That includes everyone from Dutch settlers to Italian immigrants. Today, it's once again seeing this change in action. Harlem begins just above the north end of Central Park at 110th Street and continues uptown to the Harlem River. It's flanked by Fifth Avenue on the east and Morningside Park on the west. It was originally a Dutch village named for the city of Haarlem, spelled with two A's, in the Netherlands, just a few kilometers from Amsterdam. The village was founded in 1658. Despite being a settlement, it remained largely farmland for two centuries. During the American Revolution, the area was burned, and it wasn't rebuilt until the mid-1800s. Then, Harlem had an economic boom. A railway connected Harlem to Midtown Manhattan, becoming an alluring place to live for poor Jewish and Italian immigrants. They could easily commute to Midtown when they needed to. In the early 20th century, the population started to change in Harlem yet again. New York began to see an influx of African Americans as they fled the Jim Crow laws of the South in search of work and better life. This is often called the Great Migration. Many began to set up shop in Harlem. Statistics show that in 1910, Harlem's Black population was just 10%. By 1930, it was around 70%. Harlem became the epicenter of Black culture that we think of today. The Harlem Renaissance produced a plethora of Black artistry, including writers, musicians, composers, dancers, performers, actors, and of course, architects. To truly understand why the Harlem Renaissance happened in the 1920s, you have to look back about 15 years. Much of the development of Harlem as an African American community can be attributed to Philip Peyton. A Black businessman, Peyton saw an opportunity. In 1904 to 1905, the real estate market in Harlem collapsed. Loans were withheld, mortgages foreclosed, and landlords dropped rents. Peyton took advantage. He founded the Afro-American Realty Company in 1904 and began acquiring five-year leases on white-owned properties. He rented them exclusively to African-American tenants for 10% above the deflated market price. This attracted a certain caliber of resident. New York's middle-class Black family who longed for better neighborhoods to call their own. They moved to Harlem. Harlem quickly evolved into an idyllic destination with broad tree-lined streets and renovated homes. New buildings were commissioned, and as the Harlem Renaissance ignited around 135th Street and Lenox Avenue, more Blacks descended on the neighborhood, all needing a place to live. Shortly thereafter, Sugar Hill formed, an area of elegant row houses that attracted wealthy Blacks. Some owners were names you know today: W.E.B. Du Bois, Thurgood Marshall, Duke Ellington, and later baseball legend Willie Mays. Harlem's architecture also took on a commentary for Black culture. Architects in the early 20th century looked to colonial and other historical designs that evoked a sense of tradition, but likely also to prove they could live in the same way as white families, maybe even better. Many of the properties in Harlem now carry architectural styles known as Renaissance Revival, Colonial Revival, and Georgian Revival. To this day, Harlem remains a mecca of sorts for the Black community, a place many Black New Yorkers want to live as a nod to their heritage. In the past two decades, though, Harlem has seen a wealth of gentrification, which some critics say is pushing out the Black community, especially poorer people. Corners that used to host Black-owned mom-and-pop shops now feature Whole Foods and Starbucks. The revitalization of 125th Street is helping to allure a new group of residents, but some fear that they may take away the soul of the neighborhood. The cheaper rents and lower housing prices in the area attracting first-time buyers and those looking for more value per dollar. It's changing the makeup of the neighborhood. The Black population has actually dropped from almost 90% of the population to just 54% over the course of 20 years. Meanwhile, the white population has increased. With that, though, a new wave of architecture has sprung up. Renowned architect Renzo Piano pulled from the neighborhood's civil architecture, like the aqueduct, for the design of the new Columbia University buildings in the area. But a slew of Black architects are also making their mark. Roberta Washington, known for establishing one of the first Black-owned architectural firms in the 1980s, designed 1400 Fifth Avenue, Harlem's first green building. Ghanaian-British architect David Adjaye, known for the National Museum of African American History in D.C., is working on the Studio Museum's new home on 125th Street. He's seeking LEED certification for the building, too. Stephen Michael Wilder, who founded Think Wilder Architecture, is one of the fastest-growing firms in the field. He, of course, has an office in Harlem. We hope you enjoy this walk around Harlem, experiencing the sights and sounds that have long attracted members of the Black community and the beautiful buildings in which they have lived. Enjoy, and as always, thank you for supporting the New York Junior League.